B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
And welcome into Checkpoint XP Daily for Tuesday, September 24th, 2019. Your home for esports and gaming. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll get the latest in esports news with Joe over at the Checkpoint News Desk. Plus, we'll check out the latest state of play from Sony. Those conversations are ahead here today on Checkpoint XP Daily. But first,
gaming news update with Joe Sloan.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this program to bring you important news.
CheckpointXP.com.
After four long years of court battles, the District Court of Paris has ruled that Steam users can resell the games they've purchased on the platform. Valve immediately filed an appeal.
Of course they did.
And no changes will come.
They just need money.
Yeah, no changes will be coming to the platform while that appeal is being handled. But guys, I gotta tell you something. If this were to stand, this would be a landmark decision.
No, this is a big deal. This is a real big deal. Yeah. And the reason that this is such a big deal is because, you know, like, the aftermarket on games has essentially been destroyed by game developers through digital distribution.
Right. GameStop would love
exactly. That's why GameStop is suffering so much. But I do have a legitimate question. How do we ensure, like, how do you even administrate something like this? How do you ensure that the software, once it's moved to somebody's computer, it no longer works on the first person's computer, but it works on the second person's computer? There's a lot of, like,
if I have an offline computer with my Steam library.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a lot of DRM questions that come into play.
And on top of that, there's the question of scarcity, which is what fueled the aftermarket for games, for anything, really. And when you have digital distribution, there's no concern about scarcity. So at this point, we're talking about gifting. I'm not necessarily sure if there's any, even really, a aftermarket for digital distributed games.
During a meeting of the UN this week, several game developers, including Microsoft and Sony, pledged to up their efforts in conservation. In an attempt to battle climate change, developers made a slew of promises on everything from planting trees to improving hardware. Sony specifically said they're building a new low-powered suspend play mode into their next-generation console to make it more eco-friendly. In fact, I think they said that, like, if a million people were to use it, it would provide enough power to, like, fuel 1,000 homes or something like
another
that.
Another victory for America.
I mean, that's pretty awesome. I gotta say, like, you gotta think, the way that people are developing games, you know, indie development, these kind of, like, lower power games, they don't take the full power of a system, a console, to run. So yeah, why not have a low power and a high power mode?
Yeah, and I feel like at the end of the day, systems are very wasteful, right?
Yeah.
Like, at the end of the day, we're all gonna eventually pitch our PS4, and that's a lot of just carbon footprint happening. I think actually Xbox also said they're working on a carbon neutral version of their next system.
That's interesting.
That's impressive.
I mean, I'd like to see them get a little bit more involved in, like, e-waste and recycling and stuff like that, but this is a good way to kind of step in that direction.
Right.
Why don't we try to make a console last a little bit longer? Isn't that also eco-friendly?
That'd be a good call. Fans of the Stalker franchise, rejoice. Stalker Online has been officially announced.
Wait, what?
Again.
Really?
Yes, the MMO set in a futuristic Chernobyl exclusion zone was originally announced in 2012, but an extended legal battle pretty much killed it. Or so we thought. After resolving the legal issues, the game was rebuilt from the ground up and will look to release later this year.
I have to wonder how much the HBO series had to, like, like, they were like, oh, we've got to jump on this, guys.
I mean, maybe that came out earlier this year. I mean, I feel like they would have been working on the game for a while.
Yeah, but you know what this does look like to me now, Nate? This is a direct competitor to Fallout 76.
I mean, if you watch the trailer.
Genre-wise, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, especially if you watch the trailer of it, you're like, there's a lot of inspiration taken from things like Fallout in here. I really feel like it.
Listen, Metro Exodus didn't eat into the 76 player base as much as people thought, and that is a direct ripoff of Fallout, so I don't know. I think 76 will be fine.
Well, if you were a big fan of Stalker, Shadow, Chernobyl, or Call of Pripyat, this one could be for you. All right, this next one is a bit of an intervention, Nate, for you.
Okay.
If you purchase one of the collectible Fallout 76 helmets over the summer, you got to watch out. The makers of the helmet, Chronicle, are officially recalling all the T-51B helmets due to concerns with mold growth in the fabric.
I'm sorry. I thought it was garbage.
The one that sits in our studio?
The one
I wear all the time?
No.
I drive home in that helmet, Joe!
I know. They also created the helmets that were included in the Collector's Edition, which I believe is the one that you have.
Yes.
However, they've not issued a recall on those.
Yet.
They did not say there isn't a problem with them. They just said there's not a recall
on them. Fair enough.
Remember, they only do recalls if by not recalling it would cost them more money.
That is true. So basically, we're sitting here with a giant moldy asbestos bomb in the middle of our studio.
Potentially.
Don't wear the helmet that nobody wears.
It doesn't matter. The spores go out. We all just watched The Last of Us, okay? We know what can happen with the spores.
Go away.
Disney CEO Bob Iger recently released a memoir, and in it is an interesting bit about George Lucas and the time after Disney bought Star Wars.
God.
Oh, yes. When Disney purchased the brand, they also bought Lucas's ideas for what episodes 7 through 9 could be about.
I'm sure this decision won't haunt you forever.
According to Iger, Lucas felt upset and betrayed when Disney chose not to use those storyline pieces. And guys, I gotta tell you something. If you don't know what those storyline ideas, there have been rumors and leaks as to what they are.
Really? Please tell me.
Listen, I sat through 3 movies of prequel nonsense. If I have to hear about how the Skywalker clan hates sand again, I am literally going to tear Hollywood to the ground.
If we had gotten that version of it, you'd love compared to what we would have gotten.
Oh, God.
The idea was that they were going to go down to a microscopic level and interact with the midichlorians within someone.
Wait, hold on. They use that storyline. They just used it in Ant-Man.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And they used it earlier in I can't even remember the movie now.
Yeah.
You're old.
In the 80s. I know.
I don't know, honey, I shrunk the kids or whatever. But the thing is,
Inner Space with Dennis Quaid.
There you go.
But nobody better ever talk mess about The Last Jedi or J.J. Abrams movie. Shut up, okay?
They weren't perfect, but they were better than that.
Hmm.
If you're out at TwitchCon this weekend, you could score a free copy of Bandai Namco's Code Vein. Well, I guess free isn't actually the right word. Bandai Namco has partnered with the American Red Cross to give a free copy of the game to anyone who donates blood out at TwitchCon.
All right, so cool idea. Giving blood is a great thing, but like, I'm not sure if like in the middle of a infestation of con plague that we should be, you know, putting needles in people's arms.
Anything that encourages donating blood, I think is awesome. I don't know that Code Vein is going to get it done for me. I mean, I donate blood on a regular basis anyway, so.
Right. I mean, it makes sense. It's a vampire-themed game. I guess I get why they would do that.
I guess.
Honestly, the gaming space really is one that works really well with charities, so I'm kind of thrilled to see another good example of that happening.
That's very true.
That's all for the Checkpoint XP Gaming News Update. For more, head on over to our website, checkpointxp.com.
Thanks, Joe, for the update. A story on Kotaku this week talked about an 89-year-old woman in Tokyo who's been gaming for 4 decades now. Talk about someone who's seen the entire arc of gaming. She says that all these years later, gaming helps keep her mind sharp, and it opens up an interesting discussion about an aging player base. I mean, guys, we're getting older.
Would you quit saying things like that? Every time you say it, it becomes more true.
It's true. Somewhere there is a painting in an attic of you that gets younger.
Yes, I know.
The thing is that, you know, as millennials, you know, we've identified this here on the show, that we're way less likely to put video games in a box labeled kid stuff in our heads and in our hearts and lock that stuff away.
In 20 years, we'll still be gaming.
That's definitely a boomer and Gen X mentality there. And we don't follow in the same footsteps. And yeah, I definitely think that, you know, as we age, we're going to keep gaming. And I think that it behooves developers to recognize that there are some inherent limitations that come with aging. I don't necessarily want to be 60 and playing Dark Souls. You know?
That's fair, but I was really surprised to see that a lot of the games that she's playing, Days Gone, Skyrim, GTA 5, like, you
new
know,
things.
Exactly. Not things that my grandma would
pick
up.
Well, I mean, but if you're playing these things and they're keeping your mind sharp, I mean, this is just hand-eye coordination at this point, and not necessarily anything that would require, like, twitch motor skills in the same way that maybe like a shooter would.
To Nate's point, though, like I get upset and I don't have fun when I lose too much in Overwatch. And when I'm 70 years old, I'm probably going to be losing a lot more than I am now.
Yeah, as surprising as that may be. But if you're playing something like, you know, Grand Theft Auto, you're not playing against anyone per se.
Well, and there's so many
games are really great.
And there's so many different ways to play those type of games. You know, you can take your NPCs out for tea. You know, you can.
I don't think she's taking her NPCs out for tea, Nate.
You can go walk in the park.
Thank you, Robbie.
You know what
Thank
I mean?
You,
right.
No.
Person.
No, this is what this is. Nate is really just upset that he's way closer to this lady in age
than
the rest of us.
That's right. I can make that joke. She's a peer.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is.
You know, some interesting quotes from her. She says, quote, "The graphics for the recent games are truly amazing. I think it's truly wonderful to have lived this long. As you get older, I recommend single player games over multiplayer. Inevitably, if you're on the battlefield with younger players, you'll slow them down. But I think as the number of elderly players increases, there will be dedicated servers where that won't be a concern." And that's a fascinating thought to me.
The fact that this lady is nuanced enough to understand stuff like dedicated servers at 89 years old, my parents have no excuse, okay?
Well, not just your parents, but anyone listening right now that's going like, "Oh, I'm too old for video games.
You have no excuse.
Pass me by." Absolutely not. No excuse. You don't need 89 years worth of history and context to understand it.
Pick up a controller and go.
So yeah, who's griefing the senior servers?
Oh, come on.
No, that would be a scum move.
That's a scum lord move.
Somebody's going to steal grandma's ID and they're going to go and they're going to completely troll the senior servers.
Yes, it's going to happen. There's going to be 16 Shannon. There's going to be an entire goon squad out to execute the senior servers. But listen, we want to hear from you. I like that. Senior servers. That's what we'll call them. We want to hear from you. Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Would you grief the elderly? Tell me you wouldn't. Still ahead here on Checkpoint XP, we're going to check out all of the announcements at Sony's State of Play. That conversation will wrap up today's Checkpoint XP Daily. But ahead next, we'll check in with Joe over at the Checkpoint News Desk.
Can Overwatch do better than DJ Khaled this year? We'll see.
God, I hope so. Esports news is next here on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Hey, welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. My name's Nate Bender. So glad to have you along. I want to thank everyone listening on 107.7 The Franchise in Oklahoma City, as well as 107.9 The Franchise in Tulsa. You've been asking for it, and it's finally here. Checkpoint XP merch is officially available. We've got shirts, hats, hoodies, and mugs for Checkpoint XP, Checkpoint XP on campus, low team damage, and a whole lot more. Plus, we've got a brand new shirt and hoodie that's available for a limited time this fall and holiday season. Check it out over at checkpointxp.com/shop. All right, let's check out the latest in esports news.
Oh my God! It's over! It's over! He did it!
Ready for the dive!
Another one! Oh, the third! What is this?
Esports Gaming Update with Joe Sloan.
Blizzard has announced that Questlove will be DJing at the Overwatch League Grand Finals. He'll join Zed, who is going to be performing at the halftime show at the Wells Fargo Center. Here's hoping it goes over better than DJ Khaled did last year.
Of course it will!
I don't know, man.
Yes, it will!
DJ Khaled came out and said, "Overwatch me."
He didn't say that.
Okay.
Right, Questlove is awesome.
Okay. Hold on. I love Questlove, but the majority of young people in that audience are going to go, "Hey, wait, the guy that plays drums on that late night show that my dad watches?"
Listen, I don't care it can't get worse than DJ Khaled.
And it might be able to.
No, he'd have to really try.
He'd have to try to be worse than DJ Khaled. And they're in Philly. And the Roots are from Philly.
That's true.
That's a fair point.
I'll give you that one.
So, come on, guys.
I'll give you that
one. Come on.
I mean, listen, I love the Roots, but I'm 34 years old, and I recognize that I'm 34 years old.
All they got to do is go up there with a drum set, and it's 10 million times better than what DJ Khaled did.
Epic is making some major changes to Fortnite to help new players coming into the game. Not only have they overhauled the matchmaking system so that players of similar skills will get matched up, they've also added bots to the game.
Come on, buddy.
The idea will hopefully help newer and lesser skilled players be able to enjoy the game. Nate,
really? Are we here at this? Are we at this point
this
now?
This is where we're at. Yeah.
Is Fortnite struggling?
How would you feel if they had put bots into PUBG so you could get some kills?
A lot better than I do every time
I play it. Fair enough,
then, I mean, honestly, like, as long as you don't tell me that it's a bot, my ego can survive
it's
it,
like,
right?
No, but when let
we
me
start playing PUBG Mobile, right? We're like, hey, we're really good at this.
It was effective for PUBG Mobile. I will give it that.
No, but let me tell you this. I think this is absolutely brilliant because if Fortnite wants to be taken seriously as an esport, you have to allow people to go in and practice in an environment that's not necessarily as high stress as a normal game. So I think this is going to allow people to go in, learn the mechanics, get good, and then be able to actually go into a match with some confidence.
But I don't think that they're talking about bot matches, Norris. I think that they're just talking about adding bots into games that don't fill an entire lobby.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, that's stupid. No, that's okay.
Full 180.
Incredibly, I take it back. That's incredibly stupid. It needs to be a separate mode, period.
I think it's a great move overall. I really like it.
No, it's dumb. Shut up.
Louis Vuitton is partnering up with Riot Games for a few different initiatives. In addition to designing a trophy case to house the Summoner's Cup, they'll also be creating some skins for League of Legends.
We just need money.
Both the new skins and trophy case will be unveiled during Worlds next month.
Okay.
When I die, bury me inside the Louis stuff.
Stop. Let's go. Skins.
Yeah.
How much are these going to go for?
Oh, come on.
These are designer skins.
The answer is it doesn't matter.
What is the most expensive League of Legends skin?
$35?
I paid $35 for
Elemental
one.
Elemental Lux.
If it's even a cent more than $35, no. Riot fans should be rioting.
$50? It's going to be $50.
Listen.
Oh, my God.
That is ridiculous.
And people will buy it. It'll be $50 and they'll buy it.
No, that's objectively ridiculous. And I think a real slap in the face to fans. Like, I think that it should be accessible. Should not be something that's exclusive.
It's Louis Vuitton isn't accessible. What are you talking about?
Can I tell you something? If it was 50, I'd be upset. If it was 300, I don't think I would be. Like, if you're going to go that route, go all the way.
I'm sorry, but I also agree with that.
But you're also not going to spend the $300. Oh, you might begrudgingly spend the $50.
Oh, you caught me.
I know.
Yeah, you're right. I might. Fortnite crossed a major milestone as they have now given away the second largest amount of prize money of any esport.
PogChamp.
They surpassed CSGO, which held the number 2 slot before this week, having given away $82.9 million in prize money. They're still a distant second behind Dota 2. However, the speed with which they got there is pretty impressive.
Well, I mean,
I'll give them that.
Epic has made so much money from this game that they could give away even a fraction of that and be giving away the most amount of money in all of esports. Sports history. I don't think it's that hard for them, but the best thing about this is it's clear that Epic wants this to be the thing. They want it to work. They want it to work. They want to reinvest in it. They could just hoard all their money like Scrooge McDuck and go into a hidey hole and count their billions. But instead, they're choosing to spend a lot of money on the game, so I can't fault them for that.
You know, what they could try doing is just not changing the rules of their game like 2 days before a tournament. That may do a little bit more than exorbitant prize pools.
It might.
But that's just me.
Oh, and yet people still turned out, so maybe not. I don't know. The Collegiate Star League has created a $50,000 scholarship pool dedicated to Magic the Gathering Arena.
Very cool.
MTG Arena becomes the newest game on a roster that includes Overwatch, League of Legends, Dota 2, Fortnite, and Hearthstone.
So, Norris, you are our resident collegiate esports expert as the host of Checkpoint XP on campus, available over at checkpointxp.com. What do you make of this?
I think this is really cool. It's, you know, more reports have just come out to say that the amount of scholarships have tripled since 2015.
That's
and terms of what's been given out to high school students for college. I think any game that's trying to get into the college scene needs to offer scholarships as a part of their apparatus. Absolutely. It's the only way to get involved.
This weekend on Sunday the 29th in Philadelphia at the Wells Fargo Center is the 2019 Overwatch League Grand Finals. Woo! We'll see the Vancouver Titans face off against the San Francisco Shock in what will likely be the closest match ever played. So Norris and Robbie, how do you even begin to predict this match?
Vancouver Fighting!
Yeah, but I don't know, man. These are the two closest teams in the entire league. They're both 2-for-2 against each other with the exact same map differential.
Yeah.
All I will say is that going the full 7, I think it starts to lean in Vancouver's favor because they tend to have a lot more stamina. However, San Francisco Shock can literally rotate in anyone on their entire roster, and that team is just as powerful.
Nah, I agree.
And it's impossible to prepare for that many different combinations.
I agree with that. If San Francisco gets out ahead, they'll probably win.
Okay.
But if it goes, the longer the match goes, the more it plays into Vancouver's hands. I hope that Vancouver reverse sweeps and everybody in the arena bursts into tears because that's how important it is.
I mean, listen, this is a very close matchup. It's going to be very interesting to watch, and very excited for you, Robbie. You're actually going to be out there.
Right, I am going to be out there, which means if you happen to be a Checkpoint fan, make sure you keep your eyes tuned to our social media because there will be a meetup on Saturday.
Oh, nice. That's all for the Checkpoint XP Esports Gaming Update. For more, head on over to our website, checkpointxp.com.
Thanks, Joe, for the update. The League of Legends World Championship will get underway next week, marking the month-long build-up to the Super Bowl of Esports. North America is sending 3 teams this year. Joe, does anyone have a chance?
Yes.
One team.
Yeah, I can think of one team in particular that has a chance. So, yeah, Worlds is, of course, a month-long League of Legends tournament that'll run throughout October into the beginning of November, actually. 24 teams are currently qualified. North America is sending Clutch Gaming, Team Liquid, and Cloud9. So if you're looking to root for North America, those are your 3 teams that you're hoping to hear do well. Team Liquid and Cloud9 automatically go to the group stages, which is kind of the second round of the tournament, while Clutch Gaming is going to have to qualify for that by going into the play-in stages. So, to answer your question, Nate, does North America have any hope? I think yes. Team Liquid drew a very good bracket where they should be able to at least finish second, which is what you have to do to advance. They'll have to compete with last year's world champion Invictus,
who they've beaten.
Who they beat at the midseason invitational this year, which was incredibly impressive. They also have to compete with AHQ Esports Club and whoever qualifies from the play-in stage, both of whom they had better beat if they're for real.
Yeah.
Like, if they lose to those teams, then no, they're not for real. Like, they have to win against those teams. So that's going to be, I think, North America's best chance. Typically speaking, Cloud9, they've kind of got the pedigree of performing well at
Worlds. They've done well at Worlds, yeah.
They did well last year. However, their bracket was not so friendly to them.
Significantly more difficult.
Yeah, they're alongside G2 Esports.
The best team in Europe, and arguably, in my opinion, the best team in the world.
Yeah, they won the midseason invitational this year. And Griffin, who finished second place in Korea, they are both really good teams. Then again, all you have to do is finish second. So it'll be them, those two teams, plus whoever qualifies from the play-in stages. They just got to finish second, but that's going to be a tall, tall order for
Cloud9. Wow, you're really just going to do Clutch in like that, man?
So Clutch has to qualify, and we got to figure out where they're
going
to qualify into. There's
Clutch
a lot
going
to be
all
said.
The way!
I
no,
do think Clutch will escape play-in stages, to be
no,
fair.
Okay.
I think
but
they'll
Clutch
make it.
Could mess around and end up in the group of death with Fnatic, Royal Never Give Up, and SK T1. So if they end up going there, I mean,
that's very true. But we got to get your prediction. Who's going to run away with the whole thing?
I think it's harder to say this year than it has ever been. I don't think it's ever been this balanced between North America, Europe, China, and Korea. A European team went all the way to the finals at MSI. They got at Worlds last year, sorry. They got smashed by Invictus. G2 looks unstoppable. Fun Plus Phoenix is a team that almost no one has heard of if you're not watching the LPL, but they lost one game over the summer.
Wow.
Including playoffs. I got to tell you, my pick this year is, in fact, G2 Esports.
Oh, wow. Look at that. G2 predicted to go all the way. But listen, we want to hear from you. Who are you predicting is going to go all the way at Worlds this year? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Coming up next on Checkpoint XP Daily, Sony had their latest State of Play conference where they announced things. We're going to tell you what they are ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at CheckpointXP.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Sony's State of Play conference, where they get to announce stuff. And we're going to break it all down here on Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on WCTC 1450 in New Brunswick, New Jersey, and WLEA 1480 in Hornell, New York. Some new affiliates in there. Make sure you visit our website over at CheckpointXP.com so you can subscribe to the Checkpoint XP Daily Podcast from B-Pod Studios. Get all the same discussions and interviews featured on this very radio show, plus a ton of conversations that didn't make it to air. This week, we have tons of interviews from the Esports Business Summit that Joe and Norris were out at live.
Yeah, we were.
Subscribe at our website, CheckpointXP.com, or at BPodStudios.com, the place to be for podcast discovery. Sony's waste of time, ooh. I mean State of Play, was this past week.
Shots fired.
And it's not good. Guys, why do we do this every month?
Because we have to.
I'm wondering why Sony does this. It seems like a massive waste of time for everyone involved.
Would you rather them do it in the middle of a conference where they have to spend untold millions to put it on?
No. To be honest, yes. I would rather them save some of these announcements for something big like a PAX or
announce
a Paris
when you have
Games
something
Week.
To announce.
Thank you. I don't know that we need monthly updates on games like Humanity.
All right, yo, a quick PSA to anyone, whether it's State of Play, Xbox, or the Treehouse. If you have a weird game, you can't just show it to us and think people would be excited. Tell us what's going on.
Take the extra 5 minutes and go, Humanity is a game about whatever.
That's about all we got.
Now I know Humanity is basically just a physics test. It's made as a game.
Yeah, it's how many moving objects can we put on screen at once? I feel like, yeah, this was a tech demo at one point that they were like, well,
sell it.
Kind of a game, sort of.
Sell it.
And yeah, I don't know what this is supposed to be. It looks a lot like Lemmings.
Yes, except it does remind me of Lemmings.
Except the Lemmings are people, so they can use guns.
And they shoot at each other.
For
That's
some
weird.
Reason, I don't know. I don't get it. And I'm not into it. It was not the way. Listen.
It was not the wave.
It was not the way to open the show. It was not a way to make a good first impression at all.
The second thing they showed actually would have been a decent opener. We got a look at the single player for Modern Warfare. And I thought it looked pretty awesome, actually. I was pretty into it.
It's Modern Warfare, man. Either you in or you ain't in, you know, at this point.
If I could find a way to pick this up off of like a Game Pass-type subscription-y service, then I'd play this for the weekend.
I don't know, man. I don't know what I was expecting, but it just seems like your typical fare from Call of Duty.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess I
would ask, what were you expecting?
Yeah, no, yeah. I don't know. I don't know what I was expecting.
Here's
but I mean,
problem,
if you're
Nate,
rebooting the franchise, I don't know. I think I'm just expecting something more.
No, Nate, here's
or,
the thing.
Or like a moment like No Russian. You know what I mean? Like,
but we don't know that till we play the game.
You're very right. But there was nothing that even like that seemed like a big moment
you
like that.
You didn't know
that hooked
No
me.
Russian was in the game until you played the game and played through No Russian.
That's true. You did know that a nuke went off and your helicopter went down, though. That was definitely in the trailers.
That was in the trailers. But the whole thing is that this game is supposed to be a retelling, reimagining of the Modern Warfare series. And you know what? That's what people wanted. That's what they expected. They're giving the people who are fans of this series what they want. That is mission accomplished.
Yeah, I guess.
Well, speaking of what we all wanted, Watam
is not what
is
we
not
wanted.
It.
No,
it looks like Katamari
Yeah. What?
It looks like a Katamari Damacy sort
it is,
of thing.
It's made by the same creator of Katamari Damacy.
Yeah, well, unlike Katamari Damacy, which was charming and interesting, I kind of just walked away from that one like, all right, I'll take a hard pass. Yeah.
You know what? I'll watch a cartoon series, an Adventure Time-style cartoon series with those characters.
Those characters seemed like something that was already a thing from like the 70s where the different people were different shapes. Like you had Mr. Brown. I don't remember what it was.
Or like some VeggieTales
It seemed like a weird amalgamation of those things, and it made me uncomfortable.
I'm going to take a pass on Watam.
Sure.
Yes. We also had Arise, which is, as far as we can tell, Santa Journey.
Yeah, so
this looked kind of cool.
It looked like, from what the trailer told us, Santa died, and they had a funeral for Santa.
They burned him.
And then he awakes in
Valhalla?
I guess.
Maybe. I don't
Santa's
know.
Santa's Valhalla? I don't know what that means.
It just looks like a bunch of mountains to me.
Journey is a...
Santa Journey.
...is an absolutely apt comparison.
Yeah. It did look cool. I like the art style. This one got us kind of excited, actually. LA Noir VR Case Files.
I'm all for this.
Which is out now. You can play that now.
Perfect application of VR.
Is this something, Robbie, you're the only one of us that owns a PSVR. Are you going to get it?
I enjoyed LA Noir, but I'm still sort of waiting for the games.
LA Noir.
But I'm still waiting for the games that are made bespoke for the PSVR. I don't want to just replay something that I've already played VR.
Well, I do want to play LAR, so...
Yeah. We did get a look at some...
Nothing? Okay.
No. Not for that.
Nah.
Really, we're going to go through these real quick PSVR titles coming up. We got Gorn, Espire 1... Stardust Odyssey, After the Fall, Space Channel 5. Do any of these move the needle for you?
Space Channel 5 for nostalgia reasons. The rest of them I thought were kind of boring.
I played it at E3. I thought it was great. Space Channel 5 in VR.
Yeah.
All right, well, Space Channel 5. I want to keep an eye on then. We got the Medieval update. The demo is available now.
That's great.
Looks awesome. If you like Medieval back then, you'll love it now.
It looks so good.
Yeah, it looks great. So we're in for that. Civilization is coming to PS4. Civ 6 on November 22nd.
That seems
but
like...
But it's a base game. It doesn't include the expansions, and that is stupid.
And you have to buy the expansions separately? Stupid. Yeah, that's kind of a bummer. Yeah.
Speaking of money grubbing, Death Stranding. They said they were going to show off something new and then immediately showed off the Death Stranding branded PS4 Pro that's coming out for the holidays.
Stop it, Sony.
Ugh.
Why? Why would Sony even try to think that they could pull that one off?
They bait and switched all of us as we were watching it.
Yeah, that's exactly what they did.
After Party, a game where you have to out party Satan.
Okay,
to
this looks
from
fun.
Hell.
I am
this
all for this. I will play this.
That's coming out October 29th, just in time for Halloween.
It better come to the Switch.
Oh, yeah, right? That would be a good Switch title. Perfect. We also found out that The Last of Us Remastered and MLB The Show 19 are coming to PS Plus.
That's cool.
And finally,
The Last of Us 2.
What made the whole State of Play worth it.
Yeah. It did.
Finally.
It did. And finally, we get a release date. It is coming out February 21st, 2020.
What is that, like 2.5 weeks before the Final Fantasy VII Remake in March, which is a month before Cyberpunk 2077 in April?
Not even two and a half weeks. It's 11 days.
Yeah. Everybody's pockets is already hurting. They're going
to
be hurting
even
more.
We thought September to November was crazy, man. Yeah.
I'm going to be honest. Couldn't they have just released all of this stuff at Tokyo Game Show the week before?
Oh.
Would have made Tokyo Game Show a lot better.
Yes.
And this would have been way less lame.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of on that same page, too.
For The Last of Us 2. And let's be honest, guys. You know, Robbie, when we were watching it, you made the comparison to Lara Croft and all the new Tomb Raider things. Here's the thing that looks way better even than the Tomb Raider.
I will give you that. Here's the thing. I just have one thing to say to Sony. Don't announce the PS5 in a State of Play. Don't do it.
Don't do it.
I can see you thinking about it. Don't do it. It's bad. Anyway, we want to hear from you. Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. And let us know what you thought of the paltry announcements out at Sony's State of Play. That's going to do it for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website, checkpointxp.com, for insight on esports and gaming, as well as a wide collection of podcasts and interviews. Join us Monday through Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern live at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. Lead segment producing by Joe Sloan. Brand management by Chad Callahan. And, of course, my co-hosts who pull double duty as producers for Checkpoint XP Daily. Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's Dave Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.